This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
There are some who feel like that if they attack us, that we may decide to leave prematurely. They don't understand what they're talking about if that's the case. Let me finish. There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
President Bush speaking at the White House Wednesday addressing the attacks on U.S. soldiers in Iraq. The reconstruction of Iraq, the crisis in Liberia, first stage of a compromise in the Mideast have dominated U.S. foreign policy and the week's news. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And you know, the U.S. and Britain thought they were done with Saddam Hussein more or less a couple of months ago. But now you have this audio tape that may or may not be authentic. I made note, if I might quote Arnold Schwarzenegger in these deliberations, who visited U.S. troops this week and said, I want to thank you for saying hasta la vista to Saddam Hussein, which, of course, means not goodbye, but see you later.
Right.
And we have this audio tape, the $25 million bounty. So Saddam Hussein on the run, in hiding, perhaps even dead, still widely reviled, and yet his specter is still a factor in that country now.
Yeah, and the image of the hidden Saddam certainly seems to embolden those people who want to carry on some resistance. And these numbers of ambushes now seem to be growing. They may not be centralized. They do, however, appear to show some signs of organization. And the prospect of a long, drawn-out guerrilla war is beginning to have a somewhat deleterious effect on home front morale. I think it was rather unfortunate of the president to use a phrase, bring him on, suggesting a kind of chip on shoulder. This is at a time when the New York Times reports growing anger and depression among the families of soldiers who are beginning to say more insistently, we want our husbands home. The Gallup poll showed that those who think the war is going badly is up from 13% to 32%. Still a minority, but up. And the Wall Street Journal says the approval rating of President Bush in his job is down in 3 months from 71 to 61%. Mind you, 61% isn't bad either, but indicates a rather interesting trend. Almost as many Americans now have been killed since May 1st, when victory was declared, as were killed during the war, or the major part of the war, as the president calls it.
The president's heading to Africa on Monday. I beg your pardon. And he's decided to send military experts to Liberia to assess what kind of U.S. military presence may be there to try and separate warring factions and to perhaps assist the departure of President Charles Taylor's government. What does this say about the state of U.S. foreign policy at the moment, or the world obligations of a superpower?
Well, you speak of an obligation. The obligation of this government is to protect Americans, but then define what protection of Americans involves. During the 2000 campaign, Governor Bush spoke of the United States having no vital interest in Africa. Also, no commitment to nation building. Both of those have been subject to a certain revision. Now the president is going to Africa to proclaim that, yes, indeed, there is an American interest. Speaks now of a unique connection with Liberia, which was founded by freed slaves from America. When Bush says to President Charles Taylor that he needs to resign, I think that means that President Bush needs for him to resign. But in any event, once you start saying you must resign, you are then involved, because if you say A, you have to say B. What happens now when the Taylor hasn't resigned, as he now says he will, only after Americans get there? So now we have the usual struggle between State and Defense Departments. Defense Department thinks America's getting overcommitted. State Department thinks got to send people there. President, as usual, temporizes. Pentagon will now send a survey team of experts in preparation for a possible but not definite American contingent as part of an international peacekeeping force. And life goes on in our foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Is Liberia in a special case, different from the other states of Africa?
Well, there is a sentimental interest in Liberia because it was indeed founded by liberated slaves from America. Monrovia, the capital, is named for President Monroe, and Liberia is named for liberation.
We want to move to events in the Middle East, because this week Israeli soldiers began to withdraw from the West Bank, did withdraw, in fact, from Bethlehem and parts of the Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. The initial steps in the U.S.-supported roadmap, as it's called, of the peace plan. There are some in the Israeli government who are carefully quoted in U.S. and, for that matter, Israeli press accounts this week, saying that they see a kind of victory in defining the terms of peace negotiations. What does it look like for the United States?
Well, victory, since President stuck his neck out by bringing Sharon and Abbas together at Aqaba, anything that sounds like peace sounds like victory for President Bush, and I think he probably deserves to have that. It says victory when the two antagonists, Sharon and Abbas, can meet together with no American there, able to begin to work out their own destiny. It's a victory when the suicide bombing that has since happened is treated as an incident and not the end of the world. And I guess it's a victory when no one is calling for American peacekeeping forces to go into yet one more country, although there will be American monitors there to see that agreements are carried out. I don't know. What is victory? Victory is a week when people are still working on peace.
Mm-hmm. We've seen so many tragic pictures just over the past few months, obviously from that area of the world, of civilians, Palestinian civilians and Israeli civilians who, forgive me, who have been killed and hurt and otherwise victims. I noticed a picture this week of an Israeli soldier shaking hands with a Palestinian security guard. Just like business as usual. Is there something to be marked in a photograph like that?
Oh, there's something to be marked in a photograph like that, but I think there's something to be marked, maybe we're too close to see it. And that is that I think the unilateralist phase in our history is beginning to yield to some stern realities of a world with only one military superpower, where less important than the axis of evil is maintaining some kind of axis of stability in the world. It's not as much as regime change as regime preservation in countries like East Timor and Pakistan, where 47 people have been killed in another suicide bombing. I think what's coming home to the administration now is that there seems to be chaos everywhere, and wherever there is chaos, it is not just chaos there, but it tends to provide a breeding ground for terrorists, as the instability in Afghanistan provided the launching platform for al-Qaeda. What happens is that the weakness of governments becomes an open invitation to terrorists. And the fact of the matter is that if the government can't make the state work, then the state becomes simply a place where people can come in and do whatever they want. Afghanistan mm-hmm. was a very, very big example to that. So I think that as time goes on, one begins to hear less and less, we got to tend to our own affairs, we got to go on not worrying about other parts of the country and the world. And I think that this new kind of multilateralism, very careful, I think is beginning to be the order of the day.
Mm-hmm. U.S. forces are now in evidence, or shortly to be evidence, in places of the world where, which I guess 10, 12, 15 years ago, Americans would have some difficulty finding on a map.
That's right.
That's just not a joke about our geographical limitations.
In the Balkan countries, in Afghanistan, I mean, we've almost forgotten that we have a force still in Afghanistan, still looking for al-Qaeda and all the rest of it. Yes, the Americans are becoming more and more deeply involved in the affairs of the world. And those who thought that it couldn't be, I think, were simply dreaming about a world that isn't and may never be.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.